It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. In this episode, I want to give you an overview or introduce you to a new form of preterism. It's actually emerged in the last, I think it's about 5 to 8 years, and I'm bringing myself up to speed as well. I've purchased all their books, their recent books, and listened to countless hours of their main advocates to wrap my brain around it, and of course I want to represent them correctly to respond properly to them. And it's quite complex because it's not just an eschatology, a new form of eschatology, but it's bringing in a number of these conspiracy theories like Tartarian architecture, mud flood theory, hidden history, and I'm going to get to the conspiracy theories after a bit here, but I'm going to, first of all, explain the eschatology and why it's called Satan's Little Season. But in this episode, I'm not intending to refute it. That's probably going to take multiple programs, not just on the eschatology level, but also on more of the conspiracy level. So it's kind of an amalgam of all this really bad preterist eschatology and again, conspiracy theories. So again, I'm just going to give you an overview, and even the overview itself is just, you know, pretty basic here, because like I said, it's very complex, and there's other elements here that I have not gotten in, that I'm not going to get into here. But so first of all, basically, to give you a reference point, so we're pretty much familiar with like premillennialism and amillennialism, postmill. Of course, premillennialism believes that the millennium is in the future. So when Jesus returns, he hasn't returned yet, but when he does return, he will establish a 1,000-year period. Amillennialists believe that's already begun. It's more of in a spiritual sense. There's no future amillennial instead, but they also believe that Jesus' return will happen after the millennium. Okay, so the millennium for them is more spiritual, whether it's regeneration or something that began at Christ's first coming. That's when Satan's bound, and then only after the millennium will Jesus return. And post-millennialism, at least traditional classic post-millennialists, would say that only once the kingdom is established on earth through the church, an actual physical kingdom on earth here, then Jesus will return. Of course, they believe that Jesus returned in AD 70 for judgment. It was more of a spiritual parousia, but he will return physically after the millennial period, after the world has been Christianized for 1,000 years, or again, they typically take it symbolically, so for a long period of time. Okay, so this view, Satan's little season view, is they believe that we are now living in the era of Satan's little season. If you guys are not familiar with when that period is, it occurs after the 1,000-year period. In fact, let me read the key verse here. This is in Revelation 20. In verse 3, when it says that the 1,000 years are finished, after these scenes, Satan, must be released for a brief period of time. Some people have, or some translations will have little, for a short while, a little season. Okay, there's that terminology. And then, of course, picking up on verse 7, it says, now when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan will be released from his prison. Again, it's a reiteration of that. and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to bring them together for battle. That has not happened. That's actually the last event, they would say, practically the last event in human history. But it's this period of time when Satan is... So let me put it this way. They believe that in AD 70, the Battle of Armageddon. They believe there's an Antichrist figure. The Great Tribulation happened during that time. The Battle of Armageddon occurred. And they believe then that Jesus, in judgment, he came physically. Okay, and so he came physically to earth. The resurrection happened, so all the saints were resurrected, and they established a kingdom on earth, an actual physical kingdom for a literal 1,000 years. And then roughly in the year 1,000, Satan was released. Okay, the kingdom of God was completed, and then Satan was released, and we're living in that time right now. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Alan, it's 2024. All right, this is where some of the conspiracy theory comes in, because they will say, no, actually, we're living in roughly the year 1300, in the 1300s. So they would say that it's been Satan's deception that we're actually living in 2024. There's a chunk of, say, 6, 7. There are different advocates who will disagree on this, maybe, but basically, there's a chunk of 600 to 800 years that we were made to believe that Satan inserted this with his minions, inserted this into the history books, basically, and to make us think we're living in 2024. Again, I'm going to get more into that. But again, basically, we're technically the year is 1300 right now. Satan's been released for a couple hundred years. And in our time frame, he would have been released in around 1820. So now you may be saying, well, wait a minute. Go back, Alan. What about this physical kingdom? You said Jesus established his physical kingdom. Well, where is it? Where is the evidence? They would say it's all over the place. And they would say all these, this is where the Tartarian conspiracy comes in. I'll get to that in a moment. Again, it's very complex in the sense of not maybe difficult to understand, but just complex and many components to this, and this amalgamation of eschatology, and in my view, bad eschatology, and various conspiracy theories coming together. Let me just back up for a moment here. Again, I'm trying to unpack this view. So this has been around, from what I understand, for the last 5 to 8 years. And only recently has this been, I don't want to say going viral, but it's really gaining some traction, okay? And it's kind of odd. I mean, there's very odd views of this. They actually say that Jesus is... or at least for sure the saints, you know, they're up in the North Pole area, or maybe Siberia, or somewhere up, way up north, and the New Jerusalem will appear soon. It's being hidden right now. But I want to caution, like, dismissing this, because I personally know someone who is a futurist, who wrote me recently and said, hey, I'm believing this new view. And they're like, Alan, look, I respect you, but I don't want to debate it point by point. I just want to tell you, hey, and they gave me some resources. The very next day, someone from my previous church said, Alan, have you heard of this new view? And I said, I think I have, because I had to go back to my emails and see this other this person who wrote me. And well, anyway, this person was discipling someone, a new believer in the church. And this new believer got sucked in by these YouTube guys espousing this new view. And so he's having a challenging time. Not to mention, one of the characteristics of Satan's little season is that when you listen to them, they're very anti-church. I mean, the church age is long gone, right? The church age was before the millennium, which would have been before, you know, 81. There's other components such as, say, some anti-Semitism, but anti-Semitism, I don't think, really drives this. It's more the conspiracy. It's more, let me explain who, and I'll talk more about the view here, but I want to explain that who is vulnerable to this. And again, listening to these guys and now reading, I'm getting their books now and reading them, I'm beginning to learn that there's going to be certain people susceptible to this. So, and let me just say the exponents, I should note this, the exponents of these views, I've noticed that these are not like theologians or typical, you know, Bible interpreters or scholars who are developing a new view on eschatology. No, instead, it's actually, I find these guys, they're kind of, and women too, there's some women exponents, female exponents. I find them even kind of biblically illiterate. For example, one guy keeps on talking about revelations in the plural. It's like, no, it's revelation. I mean, you know, you should know that it's singular. But that's just one example. And the whole point, or my whole point here is that these exponents or proponents of this new view, they seem to be more of the, definitely the conspiracy-minded people out there. And what they're doing, they're appropriating scripture rather than the other way around, where these are more biblical interpreters or scholars or theologians and using conspiracy theories. It's the other way around. So they're appropriating scripture, and you know, they would call themselves Christians. They would call themselves Christians, and which is why they believe that, okay, all these conspiracy theories, Tartarian, flood theories, all these things, they would say, okay, you know what, this makes sense in this framework. If we understand that we're living in Satan's little season, then these conspiracies make sense. So they will, so they got to answer for everything, right? And one of their emphases is like, hey, just forget everything you've believed. We've been lied to about everything, okay? That's, you know, some conspiracy theorists don't do that, but a lot of them do. These guys definitely do that. You know, basically, you get the impression, don't go to church. Don't listen to your church leaders. The church is over. And for me, that's most problematic about this. Not so much the kooky views, of course, that plays into the reason why they believe this, but it's the idea here that they are, and this is why I believe this is heresy, because they're denying the existence of the church, and for me, that undercuts God's authority altogether. Now, of course, they would respond in saying, "No, why do you call us heresy? We just believe that we're living at the end of the millennium here." No, well, it's heretical because they're wrong. They're wrong, and the ramifications are huge. It's not just a, you know, they'll say, "Well, it's not a salvation issue." Actually, it is, because, and this is something we're going to get in future programs. I didn't intend, again, to respond in a critique here, but I will show how undermining church instruction and fellowshipping together and neglecting of gathering the saints together is a heretical false teaching. But again, that's another day. Let's get back to really more describing their view. But I do want to mention that the people who are vulnerable, it's not just going to be the partial predators. So of course you have partial predators, right, who believe that Jesus returned, like the Jeff Durbin types. They believe that Jesus returned in a spiritual way in AD 70. You do have, you know, some full predators who actually believe the resurrection happened. But these predators go, and I've said this on my Twitter account. By the way, you guys, I don't even know if I've mentioned, I do have a Twitter account. If you go to Alan Kirshner there, do a search for Twitter, you can find some of my tweets, or I should say X. But these guys are actually quite consistent. It's kind of interesting. I mean, consistently wrong, no question about that. But they're hermeneutic. I think they're taking it. They're taking their preterism to a logical conclusion, whereas partial preterists are incredibly inconsistent. I believe in their interpretation. But anyway, there's going to be partial preterists who are going to be attracted to this. New believers, obviously, are going to be attracted to it because, you know, they're formative, right? Also, Christians who, even seasoned Christians who may not be sound in their biblical interpretation. Here's another group that's going to be attracted to this, to Satan's little season. It's going to be Christians who have a proclivity to conspiracies. And there are a lot out there. I can see, I have already, as I mentioned, you're going to see Christians that you know that have a proclivity to conspiracies. This is going to be very attractive to them. Who else? Those, you know, biblical interpreters who are interested in like ancient Near Eastern stuff, Enoch, that sort of, you know, they kind of lend some quasi-authority to these extra-biblical books. Another group is people who are just not satisfied with what the Bible says. They want more information. They want to be tantalized, okay? Another group is going to be Christians who have an anti-church tendency. Let me tell you, this group is going to be very attracted to this view. Even though it's way out there, it's because they are, they're just anti-church. They're going to be attracted to it. So there's going to be a number of types of believers who are going to give this view a hearing, this false teaching a hearing. So don't dismiss it out of hand. And let me note another thing here is, I think here is a perfect example where biblical prophecy matters. There are many pastors out there who have created a vacuum in their church because they don't talk about Bible prophecy. They don't talk about, you know, did Jesus really turn in AD 70? They ignore Matthew 24, they ignore Revelation, or they just kind of put a spiritual spin on biblical prophecy. They've created a vacuum. And so you find this filling the vacuum, and it's going to continue. So, I'm assuming if pastors who are listening to my podcast don't have that attitude, they actually believe that Bible prophecy matters. But like I said, there are pastors out there that just won't touch this stuff. So I'm not going to be surprised when many are going to be deceived by Satan's little season. Okay. So, so we're living in the season, they would argue. And, you know, a natural question is, well, then who are we, right? Today, who are we? I want to cover more of a little bit more of the theology here before I get into the Tartarian conspiracy and the mud flood, or the universal mud flood theory. Let's see here. So, for evidence, they would say, again, Armageddon, you know, that happened in AD 70, and they would, you know, cite all these types of structures around the world that seem to be like these stone structures that seem to be melted, because we know, you know, they would say the day of the Lord happened around that time, including Armageddon, and fire destroyed about 90% of the population. And they talk about how volcanoes then came into existence around this time, that they would argue that there wasn't really any volcanoes before this time, and that there's just melted buildings all over the world. And then after this, then Jesus is on earth, and they would argue that, now some of the buildings did exist, they would say, like the Roman architecture and but yet they were then given over to the saints. And the saints, Christ would, there was just superior technology during the physical kingdom. The buildings, all this Gothic, beautiful architecture actually happened for the first 1,000 years. And this was actually the remnant, the saints who built these, and Jesus. And this would be called the Tartarian hidden history conspiracy theory, where, you know, again, this, so rather than some ancient civilization with all these large ornate buildings, the Satan's little season preterist believe that, again, that Christ and the saints built this during the kingdom. And we've been deceived, because we're living in Satan's little season, we've been deceived about the history, the real history. All right, and there's been a cover up during Satan's little season, where, which again in our time frame would be, in their time frame would be 1300, but in the early 1800s, the parents that came out of the millennium, they knew about the physical kingdom of God, and they witnessed to all this, and they were put in insane asylums. All over the world, and separated from their kids. So they would say, well, look at all the orphans that existed in the early 1800s. You know, they were put on trains and shipped all over the world, and so they lost that history. And so all these other groups that are controlled by Satan basically gave revisionist history to these kids about the history that we know of today. Okay, so Satan didn't want us today to know about that Christ's kingdom was physically on earth. So basically everyone's been deceived, and especially this extra 700 years that was placed into our timeline. Anyway, the kingdom ended with what's called the mud flood across the whole world, and it covered up most of the buildings, even though some did survive, and they were repurposed, the ones that we see today. Like if you go to the big cities, right, you see these elaborate buildings, Gothic, Roman structures, and they would say that's the evidence from Christ's physical kingdom. And they would say there's no way those buildings were built by what we supposedly were told how they are built, you know, by, you know, peasants using horse and carriage and chisels and all this stuff. They would say that there's no way where they would have been able to build these large structures, architectural structures that we see today. But instead, these are remnants of Christ's physical kingdom. And they'll go through, yeah, I saw this one video. These guys, they go, I don't know what city they were in, but they were examining this one huge building. I think it was in Europe. And they'll show that, like, well, look at this bottom structure of this building. It's a large building. It could have been a library or something. I'm not sure exactly. Or a city. It was a city building. And they're showing how it's a different type of structure on top of it. All right. So, it's all this conspiracy trying to explain away, or at least trying to justify their conspiracy theories. So again, it's this whole view is complex, a lot of components. It's an overlay of a millennial kingdom theory placed over these conspiracy theories, the Tartarian and of this advanced civilization, including the they need the mud flood theory to explain how the millennium ended, and you know, where did all this physical evidence for Christ come? Christ's kingdom, where is it? Right, that's they need that mud flood theory. Here's an article. Maybe let me give you a little caption. I thought this kind of captured this idea of a the mud flood. So the mud flood was a catastrophic event. Typically, it's like a massive deluge of mud, and it was actually recently dated in the early 19th century, and it was to reset human civilization. Okay, so you have after the kingdom, physical kingdom, Jesus is on earth for 1,000 years. He's so that's already happened. And what happened with the mud flood, it buried entire cities and buildings, and there's all these layers of sediment. And it eliminated all this remnants of the, it was a highly advanced civilization. And in the secular world, it's called the Tartarian Empire. But again, this is being appropriated for a preterist millennial view. And so the survivors of the mud flood, of course, they would then build on top of these ruins. And you can see some of these actually today, they would argue. And of course, the governments have been concealing the truth about where these layers or these foundations of these buildings came from. So the article says, okay, first of all, there's architectural evidence. They would say supporters point to buildings with windows, doors, or entire floors below ground level, often in older cities, as proof that these structures were partially buried by mud. They argue that such features like sunken basements or exposed foundations indicate a sudden inundation rather than intentional construction. They would I've seen that in some of these talks or videos by the advocates here. And then here's the Tartaria connection. The theory often ties into the idea of a lost Tartarian empire, a supposed advanced civilization spanning much of Eurasia and beyond. This empire, they claim, was wiped out or obscured by the mud flood. And so the grand architectural was misattributed to later cultures. And they would say Tartary, historically a vague term used by Europeans for parts of the Central Asia and Siberia, is reimagined here for that superior society. Now, here's something they would say. There's, and again, this historical gap theory, historical cover-up, advocates assert that the mainstream history suppresses this event, altering records and timelines to hide the existence of Tartaria and the mud flood. Some suggest wars like World War I, World War II, and other disasters were used to further erase the evidence. And of course, they said the mud flood is sometimes attributed to natural disasters like a comet, impact, polar shift, mass flooding, or even artificial causes such as energy weapons. The result, they say, was a global layer of sediment and reshaped the landscape. Then it says the theory gained traction online, especially through platforms like YouTube and Reddit and others, where enthusiasts share photos of buried buildings, old maps mentioning Tartary and other anomalies. So they're appropriating some of these conspiracy theories into their theological preterist millennial view. They're going to have, they have different views on exactly when the millennium began and who the Antichrist was and so forth. So it's not like all of them agree on the same thing. For example, this article that I came across with is a description says that proponents suggest the millennium occurred roughly from the fall of Rome, circa 476, to around 1700 or 1800s, with Tartaria as its golden age. And then it says the Dark Ages are reinterpreted as a time of divine rule, obscured by later historians. Satan's little season then began after this, is pegged to events like the Industrial Revolution or 1776, the founding of the U.S., as seen as the marker for the deceptive reset. And of course, the mud flood is cast as the cataclysmic event that ended Tartaria and the millennium, burying the cities, right? Burying Jesus' physical kingdom. So Satan does not want to, you know, people to know that it ever existed. And so Satan then brought about this age of deception, of globalism, rewriting history, and suppressing truths about Tartaria. And of course, I already mentioned that the elaborate, quote-unquote, they would say impossible architecture of old world buildings like the U.S. Capitol and European cathedrals is cited as proof of Tartarian millennial past. In other words, the saints built those. Let's see, and then, of course, they would cite the idea of orphan trains and empty 19th century city photos and the sudden rise of asylums as signs of societal re-education. Yeah, re-education post-reset. Okay, so because we can't have people surviving the millennium, right? Telling their children what happened. No, Satan's not going to have any of that. We got to get rid of the parents. We'll put them in asylums. We'll take their children, put them on orphan trains, ship them out, and re-educate them. They believe that this happened in the 1800s or in their time frame around in a, you know, the year 1000 or later. And my response, my focus is going to, again, be on the exegetical side. I may even bring in, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, it's not my wheelhouse, on, you know, trying to refute conspiracy theories. I'm not, you know, I have writing projects to do. I have other commitments. But I do know a couple of Christians who are well-versed with these other conspiracies, Tartarian and mud flood, that be able to respond to on that side of the coin. So anyway, I hope that's been helpful. And again, my main concern is that, you know, when you combine biblical theology, biblical prophecy with secular conspiracies, man, that's, you know, that's the perfect recipe for a fiction book, but it's also a perfect recipe for Christians being duped. And they're being duped right now. I don't know how many, but I suspect it's going to grow. So we shouldn't dismiss it. We shouldn't ignore it, but rather we should respond in a biblical fashion. I'm going to respond to them as, like I said, as I respond to preterists. Or amillennialist, or other, you know, post-millennialist. So, and again, I am going to also respond. They do have some, don't get me wrong, they do have some new interpretations in terms of the end of Revelation 20. And that piqued my interest too, because I wrote my PhD dissertation, you know, covering this area in the book of Revelation. And I heard certain things concerning Satan's little season and how they understand the war there that I want to respond to in like manner. So it will be an ongoing series sporadically. Obviously, I'm going to, you know, I kind of jump around responding and expounding on other types of Bible prophecy. So this is something that will be over time when I want to respond to some of their proof texts. And if you are a new listener, I just want to invite you, first of all, welcome to the podcast. You know, my focus is on biblical exposition and talking about various issues of Bible prophecy. I don't talk a lot about events happening in the news today, so You may be disappointed there, but I really focus on these other biblical prophecy issues focused on the Bible. And if you're new here, I want to invite you to help support myself, because I currently support my family through this ministry. So if you benefit from this program or other resources at Eschatos Ministries, please consider supporting us by becoming a ministry partner, which is giving on a monthly basis. You can go to alankirshner.com and sign up, or I'll put a link in the show notes. Hey, thanks guys for listening, and see you next time.